This is Nachiomi, Sefer Melachim Bet, chapter 11. When Ataliah, mother of Ahaziah, the king of Yehuda, discovers that her son is dead, she promptly acts to seize all the power for herself. She has the entire royal line exterminated, ostensibly including many of her own children and grandchildren, and rules as queen. However, one son of Ahaziah, named Jehoash, is saved by his aunt and hidden in the holy temple, where he is raised and educated by the Kohanim. When Jehoash was nearing the age of 7, Jehoiada the Kohen gathers key officers and soldiers of the royal guard, people who are loyal to the house of David and not to Ataliah, and reveals his plan to overthrow Queen Ataliah and to replace her with King Jehoash, who should really rightfully inherit the throne. They swear a vow of allegiance to the new king, and a security detail is assigned to protect him while the dramatic events unfold. Jehoiada provides the captains of the guard and their troops with weapons and shields that originally belonged to King David himself and had been stored all along in the Beit HaMikdash. A coronation is held inside the Beit HaMikdash, and the sounds of celebration come to Ataliah's attention. She arrives at the temple, witnesses the coronation ceremony underway, and correctly realizes that a revolution has been declared and her life is in danger. Ataliah is killed, although care is taken to ensure that she isn't executed on temple grounds. Jehoiada gathers the people together, has them recommit themselves to their historic calling as the nation of Hashem, and secures their official acceptance of Jehoash as the new king. Then his men enter the house of Baal, destroy it, and smash its graven images. The chief priest of the Baal, Matan, is also executed. Officers are appointed to oversee the Beit HaMikdash, which had been severely neglected. Jehoash moves now from the temple to the royal palace, assumes leadership of the nation, and presides over a period of relative peace and tranquility in Jerusalem. This chapter presents to us a fascinating contrast between the two houses, a contrast between the two houses that were built by Shlomo, the house of the king, and the house of Hashem. Now we know that these were linked in the initial planning back in the beginning of Sefer Melachim. These two edifices were supposed to have a relationship with one another. The Beit HaMikdash was supposed to be the primary focal point of the kingdom, and the monarchy was supposed to play a supporting role to the service of Hashem, promoting the values of Torah and observance of Torah. Over time, the two institutions, of course, grew apart, with the temple occupying its own religious sphere and the king primarily focusing on the practical political affairs of the kingdom. This explains why little or no effort was put into trying to stop the unauthorized bamot, or individual altars. They flourished out of neglect, because the king did not embrace his role as steward of the Beit HaMikdash, responsible for safeguarding its exclusivity as the place of divine worship. The bifurcation of the two great houses reaches its pinnacle in our chapter, when they're not only separate from one another, but divided against each other. Finally, the personnel of the Beit HaMikdash, representing the spirit of the Jewish people and devotion to the Torah, overthrow the wicked pagan regime of Ataliah, which itself evolved out of the evil regime that preceded it, and they replace her with a monarch that they themselves have raised, imbuing him with a proper perspective, providing him with a thorough religious education. The hope, of course, was that this bold political move would save the nation from oblivion and reestablish the kingdom of Yehuda and the Beit HaMikdash on a firm foundation of Torah and Kedushah, holiness. We see this in, first of all, symbolically, in the fact that Jehoiada arms the guards and the soldiers with the very equipment of David HaMelech, the man who best embodied the proper relationship between the secular and the sacred, the political and the prophetic, the human power and the service of Hashem. The fact that the revolt is followed immediately by the elimination of idolatry from the land testifies to the religious motives that inspired this rebellion and determined its aim. However, we also see that it was important to Jehoiada to secure the agreement and support of the people. It had to be a change not only in the structure of the leadership, but in the attitudes and the perspective of the nation as a whole.